Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, wherever you are. Welcome back to the Sex RX Show with Michaela, the prescription to a healthy and fun sex life. So tonight we're going to be talking about how to use Tantra to have better relationships with ourselves and others. So I don't know about you, if you know what Tantra is, so that's why I brought on a guest who does. Agora Fabrice joins us to help us out. He's going to help us break down what the basics are of Tantra, how it's beneficial in having better relationships with ourselves and others, along with some key tips to consider when looking for a Tantra practitioner or mentor. Plus, we're also going to be learning how practicing Tantra contributes to our health. To just tell you guys a little bit about Agora, he's a yoga teacher, both tantric and hatha, along with being a tantric massage practitioner. And he's also the founder and certified expert life coach at The Lover in You, where he's focusing on helping men find their purposes in life, along with how they can use their sexuality to discover their full potential and experience deep, fulfilling, long-lasting relationships. To learn more or work with Agora, please visit his website at www.theloverinyou.com. So welcome back, Agora. How are you doing tonight? Or morning, wherever you are.
Hi, Michaela.
Because I know we're on different times.
I'm good.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, I'm in Thailand, so the morning here. But thank you so much for having me in your show again.
Thank you. So, you know, for the listeners that didn't get a chance to catch you last time you were on, do you mind sharing a little bit more of your background than what I gave to the audience so far?
Yeah, so like as you were saying, like I'm a hatha yoga teacher, which is a tantric form of yoga. I've also more recently become a men's coach and focusing a lot on men's work and mostly relationships, sexuality, finding their purpose. And I also keep on being a student and practitioner in a tantric school here under the guidance of my teacher here in Thailand. And so that's pretty much my life here in Thailand. Maybe why I started doing all of this. Well, when I started doing yoga and tantra, like it really completely transformed my life in terms of the health benefits, in terms of dealing with my emotions, having a more clear mind, and also very much in my relationship with my wife and my sex life. So it really transformed my life in many, many beneficial ways. And then I decided that I wanted to start teaching, so it became even a bigger part of my life. And yeah, just
nice.
noticing more recently the struggles that I have for myself and that a lot of other men have. We all seem to have the same struggles in common. I decided to start focusing more on men's work.
I think that's great because, you know, I don't know how many men, I mean, women, it seems like we're more open to counseling and things like that and talking about our feelings, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot of opportunities or avenues for men to do so, but we're all human beings, so we all can use the work. So I'm glad you're doing something like that. I had a question. So how long have you been practicing Tantra in your life?
It'll be 4 years.
Okay. So another question, like how long do you think it took you before you started to notice the benefits from this work?
About one day.
Oh, wow.
The benefits are many. And I mean, the very first time you start practicing Tantra, whether it's the sexual Tantra or the tantric yoga, like you feel benefits from the very first session, from the very first class. So it's not really delayed benefits, actually. It comes right away, and then they just keep on adding up and piling up.
Nice. Well, we'll definitely get to those benefits because I definitely want to know what that's about. But let's go back, and I just want to start off by if you could explain what is Tantra, and maybe, I don't know if you know where it originates. I don't, if you could share that. And since you're saying there's different kinds of Tantra, can you kind of break that down as well?
Yeah. So maybe I'll start by saying what it's not, because
okay.
Today there's a lot of confusions and misconceptions about Tantra in general. It's not sexual healing, although sexual healing can be a side effect of Tantra. It's not some kind of new age hippie movement that came out in the 70s. It's not some kind of weird spiritual cult obsessed with sex. Actually, sex is only maybe 10% of the whole umbrella of Tantra. It's not sex for old people or some kind of weird, boring sexual practice. Tantra is actually, it's a spiritual path, just like Buddhism or any other religion even that you may find or It's a holistic spiritual path which takes into account all aspects of the human being and the world that we live in. It's basically a science of self-development. And, you know, at the highest level, the ultimate goal of Tantra is same as in Buddhism. It's nirvana, enlightenment, whatever you want to call it. And
that's beautiful, and I definitely didn't know that, Agora, at all. So I'm glad that you pointed out what it's not, because I have heard those before, so that's definitely different to know that that wasn't that.
Yeah, I mean, if you type, you know, if you go into any city and you type Tantra, like, most of what's going to come up is just some massage parlors, which are basically some kind of prostitution, and not really, it's really, really far away from what Tantra is, actually. And now everybody uses the word Tantra because it's just a new, trendy word to use. And so, as I said, like, only everybody knows Tantra mostly because of sex. But sex is about 10% of everything that is in Tantra. Actually, Tantra uses, as I said, yoga, meditation, astrology, astronomy, sacred geometry, architecture, dance, all sorts of arts. It uses everything to achieve, actually, its final goal, as I said.
Okay, so I'm not sure if... by what you said, Agora, if this breaks down to, are those what you just said considered some of the principles of Tantra, or is there more to that besides what you just shared?
No, what I was just saying is the different things that are part of Tantra, because Tantra is just a very, very big umbrella. It's a whole philosophy, basically, which, as I said, uses all aspects of the human being and uses all aspects of this manifestation that we live in to achieve its final goal, which is enlightenment or nirvana. So it does indeed use sex. It does indeed use yoga. It does use meditation. And as I said, mostly in the ancient times of Tantra, it would also use certain things like architecture, or it would use sacred geometry, or it would use many, many other things, astrology, astronomy, any kind of science that or art that it could use to achieve their goal.
Okay, before I go into asking you about how practicing Tantra helps with our relationships, I want to, since this is also a sexuality show, and I know this Tantra is only like 10% of it, I still want to dig into that a little bit. Like, what does that entail then when you're using sex? Like, how do you use sex, and how does that incorporate with Tantra to get, and where does that get you? Is that, again, still getting you to enlightenment through sex, and how do you do that?
Yeah, okay, so just to finish about the origins of Tantra, like, just so people have an idea, like, it originated in northern India and around Kashmir and Tibet, in that area. And we first really hear about Tantra in the 5th century before Christ, but actually the practices became popular only like 1,000 years after that. So about on 5th century, it really started to become widespread throughout India. And around the 10th century, it actually became really, really, really popular. And there's even many temples, and the practice of Tantra at the time were actually quite normal for people to practice. Nowadays in India, actually, they became, actually, with the invasions of mostly Muslims and Christians and other religions, which did not allow those practices in Tantra, actually, now it became much more puritanistic.
Mm,
so,
that's interesting.
Answering the question, about what does, maybe I should answer it later, because I feel like maybe I should talk about some of the basic principles of Tantra, and it might give a better framework for the sexual practices.
That sounds good to me. Go for it, Agora.
Okay. So as I said, like, the really, really big one is that it's a life embracing path. So what I mean by that is, like, let's take another practice, which would be the classic Buddhism. There is a tantric form of Buddhism, but most of the Buddhism is what we call an ascetic path. So it's actually, you know, you become a monk, and then you have no more, except for your meditation practice, you basically have no more life. Like, you don't have a sexual life. You eat, you know, a bit of rice every day. You become like all your focus becomes on your spiritual practice. And it's a philosophy which basically says there is the divine, there is God, there is something out there. And then there is this world that we live in, which is only a dream. It's just an illusion. It's a prison that we need to get out of. And Tantra says the exact opposite. It says that if there is such a thing as God, if there is such a thing as a divine, then everything else has to be considered divine and of the same nature. So it does not deny the world. It does not deny the body. It does not deny the emotions. It accepts everything and uses everything for transformation and for spiritual awakening. That means that your body becomes your temple. So there's no suppression of that kind. There's no, nothing is denied. Everything is accepted. And therefore, obviously, sex then becomes a really, really big thing in there. Because our Tantra says, and also you can find that in Taoism as well, that your sexual energy is basically your main driving force in life. Okay. And even Western psychologists will say the same thing. It's all your creative. I mean, you can create a human being with that energy. Okay, it's your whole creative force. It's your main driving force in life. And they say that, okay, well, we use everything in life to achieve this goal, so might as well use our sexual energy as well. And this is where the sexual practices come into place.
That's I find that interesting and kind of beautiful, actually, but it's just crazy because I think in Western culture or maybe in some religions, we look at the body as unholy or it's a sin, you know, to have sex other than trying to create life or just enjoy, I guess, the pleasures of the flesh. So are you saying with Tantra, like you, I mean, I know you're trying to, I don't know, maybe I don't know. Like, where, is it you worshiping your body? Is that still the same by using, you know, I don't know, making love with another person? Is that still considered a way of going through Tantra and showing, I don't know, connection to the divine?
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing that comes very strongly, actually, which is, again, a very, very important principle of Tantra and which comes strongly into the sexual practices and in relationship, is this principle of Shiva and Shakti. Of the Shiva, in this case, would be the yang, the masculine principle, and Shakti would be the yin, the feminine principle. Shiva is considered to be the pure consciousness, the awareness, the witness of everything that we do, and we all have it in us. And Shakti would be all the rest, basically. So you have pure consciousness as the masculine principle, and then Shakti as raw power, energy, manifestation, matter, everything else. And you can use the analogy of the wheel being Shakti and the hub of the wheel, the center being Shiva. And they basically represent the divine, the ultimate divine couple. They're inseparable, and this whole manifestation that we live in, this entire universe, is basically a cosmic dance between Shiva and Shakti. They're, Shiva and Shakti are constantly making love, and this is the world that we live in. And so it's, when you start applying that in your life, actually, well, you start seeing your woman, the woman that you make love to, actually, you start seeing her as this goddess, as Shakti, as the divine feminine principles, and then same the other way around. And so the lovemaking, you can reach a whole new dimension of experience with those principles. And
Agora, I have something to talk about right there with what you're just saying. Again, I think it just breaks the mold of like some of our mindsets. Like, I mean, in our culture, in a lot of Western culture, or Christianity even, you know, we don't see life like that, or the divine or creator like that. You just see it as a creator, a male creator. And, you know, and I guess in some of our relationships, I don't know, with the way you're explaining it, this seems like more of an equality for men and women, whereas in other ways, you know, it just seems like sometimes, you know, it's a focus on the male power as the dominant, and then, you know, women always being submissive. And it's really different to hear this, because it seems like, you know, they're coming together and both embracing each other's gifts.
Yeah, and I mean, in Christianity, you do have also a triad. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is actually Shakti. It's the feminine power.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's just not really talked about, because at the time, like, if you look at when Christianity spread and the kind of society that it lived in at the time, like, obviously they emphasized big time on the male principle.
So here's another question. Okay, so say some of our listeners maybe are Christian or have a different mindset. Like, how can they incorporate Tantra into their world, you know, even if they have different beliefs?
Yeah, so again, like, Tantra is not, it's not a religion, it's not, and it can be used by anybody. Like, actually, you can start, if you really start, really, like, if you open your mind a little bit and start studying both the different religions and the philosophies of Tantra, you realize that actually there's not that many differences. You can still use those same principles without losing your faith for the God that you've been worshiping until now.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, are we ready to move on, Agora, to talking about how Tantra, by practicing it, can help with better relationships with others? Or is there anything more you wanted to add to what we were already talking about?
Yeah, I'm happy to move on to the relationships.
Okay, I'm ready.
So the question, how can it help with relationship with others?
Yes.
One of the really important things, so basically I'm just still going actually through the basic principles of Tantra and just their applications in relationships and their effects. And one of the really important things that we try to do in Tantra is to go into the heart. So what do I mean by that? I mean to basically be able to love as much as possible, more and more, in a more and more pure way. So you become a more loving, compassionate, open and sweet person, and therefore that influences your relationships, well, with your partner, obviously, with yourself, and with anybody with whom we have interactions with. So this being able to go into the heart and to open your heart as much as possible, I think is, for me, one of the main ways in which it has influenced my life in terms of my relationship with others. The other one, which is also, it sounds quite simple, but with the whole practice of Tantra, you just generally become a happier, more fulfilled person. So you become more self-reliant, and you don't need others for your happiness anymore. You're just naturally happy. And so that means that you're full, and you're ready to offer your gifts to others. You're not needy. You don't go into relationships because you're lacking something, but you're actually coming from this place of fullness and of wanting to really just offer your gifts to the world, and that will influence your relationships big time. The last one, which kind of comes under the umbrella of everything is divine, is this Shiva and Shakti principle, is this principle of transfiguration, which is actually a Christian term. The word transfiguration comes from Christianity, and we've kind of taken it under the umbrella of Tantra. And what we mean by transfiguration is actually seeing everything as divine. So it's not just knowing intellectually that everything is divine, but you actually see everything as divine. So you try to connect to people in that way. You consider every single person that you have an interaction with as a divine being. That person actually is much more than what may seem. And in relationships between a man and a woman, as I said, you transfigure your man as Shiva, the masculine principle, and you transfigure your woman as Shakti, the feminine, the goddess. You adore her, you worship her, and that transforms your relationship completely.
Okay, so I'm still learning, Agora, as you explained this, and I know there's going to be a lot more after this show, but okay, I get where you're kind of saying that, but like, okay, if you're worshiping, you're trying to worship each other, but then like you said at the same time, with Tantra, it also teaches you that you don't need another. So how does that work? I guess like, so you're filling yourself up, and then when you find the right partner, though, it's that is worthy, I guess. That's at the point where you both can worship each other equally. I guess that's where I'm confused at that point.
Yeah, so I'm not saying that you don't want anybody else in your life. Like, it's just a different approach. Instead of going into relationships because you're lacking something, you're needing something, you're actually try, and it's an ideal. Like, none of us are free of needs, and like none of us are perfectly happy on our own. Like, it's an ideal that you're aiming towards, but you become more and more happy without the need of anybody else. You become more and more fulfilled without anybody else. It's just somewhere you're aiming towards. And indeed, actually, when you come from that place, you're able to love better. You're able to, indeed, like, it's just a conscious decision that you make of, like, you can either see your wife as Susan and her past and her stories and her ego and her every single thing that you know about her, or actually you can decide to see her as a goddess, as a divine being. And I just encourage people to try it for a while and to see actually what it does to your relationship.
I think that is beautiful. And then even just the idea of being able, what you said just a little bit ago about not just in the mind, knowing that everybody, yes, blah, 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 we're all, from God, like, or whatever, like we're special, but to actually really embody that and really, when you relate to others, to incorporate that. I think, oh my gosh, just from hearing that, our world would be so different if we were doing that, whether it came from Tantra or not, just appreciating that in each of us.
Yeah, that's really true.
Okay, so you talked about already, what it can do for relationships with others, and I think you, hinted at about ourselves. Is there anything to add about what it does for our own relationship with self?
Yeah, so Tantra gives you this amazing, ever-growing and expanding understanding of yourself, on all levels. From your physical body, like again with the yoga, the sexual tantra, like you just learn so much and you develop your own physical body, your own health. You learn about energy, like you learn actually that you also have energy flowing through you, and you have energy channels that we call nadis, or in they're basically the meridians in acupuncture and all of that. It's the exact same thing. You learn about the system of chakras, so energy centers, and you start working with those. You start working with your emotions, because in Tantra, emotions are very much used actually and accepted for spiritual practice. And you start to develop and refine your emotions more and more. You become more emotionally mature. And you work a lot on the mind, so on focusing the mind, on concentration, and your mind just become more and more clear, and you can use it really efficiently compared to before. And then eventually, actually, the very last state is the state of no mind, of transcending the mind, and of finding your true self, your true essence, which is just a pure state of being. And that ultimately is the very last goal of Tantra, is to experience that state of being, that state of nirvana, that state of samadhi, whatever you want to call it. Every tradition has its own name for it.
Well, I think it's amazing that, again, that this form of work that helps with people is just the fact to embrace your emotions. A lot of times, we're trying to stuff them and ignore them instead of using them as tools to get to a higher state of consciousness. And so you talk about nirvana, and I haven't reached that. I can't say I've reached that. I mean, so can you, have you
Me
experienced that
neither.
or some level of that? Oh, okay, so you haven't been there. Okay, so like, what can you kind of share though? Like, what an experience is like, or at least from your own personal take on it that you've had so far from practicing this? Like, what have you felt from doing it?
Yeah. So, yeah, just to make it clear again, I am not an enlightened master. I still consider myself very much of a beginner when it comes to those things. And I know from my own teachers, and I get transmission and experience from them. But as far as I can tell, like I can tell with the practice of things are going naturally more and more in that direction. You start having certain experiences where you first actually realize that you are indeed of a, you have direct experience that you are indeed actually of a divine nature, and that you're a drop part of this ocean. You can call the ocean God, you can call it whatever name you want to give it. And that's the very first, very important step actually on this path, because it starts creating this strong urge and calling for the drop to actually merge with the ocean, to, let's say, to go back home in a way. It's just, it's a very irrational, it has absolutely no logic behind it. It's just a strong calling that a lot of spiritual aspirants have, and that's why you'd have people going to monasteries and becoming monks and just getting on a spiritual path, because they just have this strong, they, you know, they leave everything behind and they just go for that because it becomes stronger than anything else. And over time, like, your meditations become deeper and deeper, and you have, you know, what they call peak experiences, when at certain moments you go much deeper than you have before and you experience new states of consciousness. And then, you know, over the years, like the natural course, if you keep on doing your practice and if God's grace allows, then you will experience those states.
Oh, it sounds lovely, and thank you for keeping it real, because, you know, you got some people that just swear they're the experts in whatever they're doing, and, you know, to just know that everything takes time. So, okay, with that being said, you know, if listeners are wanting to go in on this path, you know, I'm sure they could probably do some self-learning and research, but if they were to choose to work with a practitioner or mentor, what are some of the things that they should be looking for before they decide on who they'd want to work with?
So, first of all, like, I would just, again, like, put a bit of a warning there, because, as I said, like, most of today's tantra is actually not really tantra, and so it's, actually ask yourself, like, what are you looking for? Like, why do you, what is it that you want to get out of it? Because let's say, like, you just want, like, a nice massage, then indeed you can just go to, like, a massage practitioner. Actually, massage, like, tantric massage is a pretty new addition to tantra. It didn't really exist before. Just be aware of that, because, as I said, like, in the most big cities, like, you will find those places, and they're actually, you know, just go on the website and you'll actually realize that it's actually just prostitution, and that this, it has nothing to do with tantra at all. And then the other way around, actually, also there, I myself am I give yoni massages, which is a tantric massage for women. And even there, like, I would be very careful, because I've heard stories myself and I know that some men out there pretend to be massage practitioners, and they actually sometimes abuse their power, and it's also something to be very careful of. So I would only go with someone who has a lot of really positive referrals and whom you feel you can really trust.
Okay, I have a question, though, Agora, before we go on. I want to ask you, so, about the tantric massages. So you do them yourselves. Okay, so what makes a tantric massage different from just a regular massage? Like, what is that like? What would somebody experience?
So what I do in particular is a yoni massage. And yoni in Sanskrit means basically the vagina. So it's,
okay,
a full body massage, and after, towards the, let's say, like, the whole second half of the massage is actually massaging of the genitals. And you have the linga massage, which is the massage for men and massaging of the penis, and the yoni massage is actually for women. And this helps women in releasing tensions, traumas, energetical, emotional blockages, even physical, like, clearly physical pain. They can be, like, it used to actually not be so much part of the traditional tantra, because at the time they didn't have so much, there was not as much abuse and societal conditioning and all those things at the time when they were practicing in India. And today in society, actually, like, most women are traumatized one way or the other, whether it's with physical abuse or emotional abuse or any kind of trauma that will actually, most often for women, it actually becomes stored in the area of the vagina.
Interesting. I have never heard that, but it makes sense. So, I mean, if for a woman who wanted to do something like that, I mean, obviously there's got to be some kind of trust that is going on to be allowed to have that practiced upon her. But, I mean, this is with the intent of this yoni massage, it's not an intent for, like, the woman to orgasm, right? It's just you're just trying to release tension. Does it sometimes happen that they do orgasm or what, you know?
It's anything that is needed. So if it's not just male practitioners. Like you can have a woman practicing, like a lot of women practice yoni massage on other women, and often for the first time, a woman will feel more safe with another woman. And it can be anything, because let's say if I have a woman come to me and say I have problems with my orgasms, actually, like I cannot orgasm, then that the work is actually going to be on that. If she tells me like I've been sexually abused and I have traumas and I feel that there are actually really big tensions and physical issues in the yoni, then the focus is going to be on that, and it's going to be more of a therapeutic or emotional approach to things. It can be everything. Like every single one is very, very different, and from 1 minute to the other, you can have very different reactions. So yeah, it can be anything. There can be orgasms, there can be pain, there can be crying, there can be laughter, there can be screaming. Like it does, everything is allowed, really, like any kind of release that is needed.
So totally individual case-by-case basis. Okay, so on the other hand, for men, if this was to be work for men, do they have, is it similar situations as well, but it's just a male for men?
Yeah, so it's similar thing. So they'll have a practitioner, unless you have also a whole gay community in Tantra, and then there will be men practicing on men. Otherwise, it's going to be a woman practicing on the men. And it's the exact same principle that we all, a lot of men hold on a lot of shame and guilt around the sexuality, and it can transform into actual physical problems or energetical blockages in the area of the genitals. And to actually be touched in a way which is very, very different, where actually you have, let's say, 2 or 3 hours where it's not about performing, it's not about running the show, you actually just get to lay down, relax, and you just have someone taking care of you and someone massaging you in a way which is actually not meant to just make you orgasm. It can go there. And a big topic which I feel I should touch on actually in Tantra is that for the men, actually, when they start practicing Tantra, they stop ejaculating. So you actually take your sexual energy, and instead of just exploding in a normal ejaculatory orgasm, you actually move the energy up, and you keep your life force, you keep your semen, you keep your creative potential, all of it, you keep it inside and you push it up. So it becomes very different types of orgasm. As a man, you can actually start having multiple orgasms without ejaculating once. And so it's a practice. It takes some time and a lot of dedication to become good at this practice, but it's very rewarding because you actually start having, you start becoming happier, more energized. You have so much vitality. I mean, just look at how man is basically after ejaculation. You compare his drive and like you compare before and after, it's pretty dramatic. And so,
well, now that you brought that up, Agora,
getting a linga massage actually helps you to go into those practices, because the woman will know what she's doing and she can help you becoming sexual continent and not experiencing new states of pleasure and possibly orgasms without the ejaculation.
Okay, so now that you brought that up, I do got two questions about that. One, do you think that by practicing that or having, whether they're practicing the tantric massage, would that help with people? Because, at least here in Western society that I know, it seems like more men now than ever, whether they're old or what, everybody's going out and getting a Viagra prescription. So have you heard that by practicing this was also help them? Possibly?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Like I know personally 80 years old who are practicing, who's still having sex and using tantra, and they don't ejaculate it, and has a huge influence on their, like, they don't need Viagra at that point.
Okay, and then my other question is, okay, we got, just by the way, I think we got about 8 minutes left. I wanted to ask this other piece, because I've heard you talking about ejaculation, holding on to the ejaculation is actually good for you. And so I've heard other stories that it's not good for you. So you're saying that that's not true, the other rumors, by holding it back that somehow it can cause men to be sick or whatever.
Yeah, so I said just judge the tree by its fruit. So I look at the results in myself. I look at others. I know I've heard that it can create prostate cancer and such issues. I know personally people who've been doing this for over 40 years and they have absolutely no problem. If you don't do tantra correctly and you don't move, actually, because it's a matter of energy. We play with energy. And so what happens when you ejaculate is like the amount of energy in that area of your body just becomes so intense that you just have this explosion. With tantra, with yoga, with meditation, you become aware of your own energy and you're able to move it through your body with different breathing patterns, with actually eventually you only need your mind to move that energy. And so instead of having this just very short explosive orgasm, you actually are able to move, let's say, this energy to your heart. And you have an amazing, very long-lasting and even multiple orgasms, let's say, at the level of the heart. And it becomes a whole different experience. It becomes a full-body orgasms, which become more and more actually like female orgasms in a way. And myself, for example, I can even share my own story. Like, as soon as I started practicing tantra and sexual continence, so not ejaculating, I had, and in a way I still have, a condition which is called varicocele, which is a swallowing of the veins in the testicles, in the left testicles. And
okay.
So it means that your basically left testicle becomes, and it's a condition that actually 25% of men have. It's pretty common, and it can lead to infertility and just really physical pain and discomfort. And as soon as I started practicing this, actually, it went down and down and down and down, and it became healthier and healthier and healthier. And never again have I had pain in that area since then.
Amazing. Okay, I'm glad that you were able to share that, Igor, because I just definitely was something that intrigued me, and I thought other people would like to know. So I want to ask you some other questions related to coaching, but before I do that, to close up just our tantra piece, is there anything else you wanted to share on that?
No, I mean, try it out. Like, and again, as I said, like, it depends what you're looking for. If you're just interested in the sexual practices, and not so much in the spiritual aspects of things, that's perfectly fine as well. Either way, it's going to make your life amazing. Either way, if you just want to have a great sex life, do it anyways, because again, like, if the guy learns to last longer and longer and longer, well, it's going to be amazing for him, amazing for his woman. It's going to make them happier, influence the whole relationship. And so give it a try.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Agora. Okay, so I want to say, give us about 3 minutes with this that I wanted to ask you, but I think this is important, especially because you do work with men, coaching through them through a lot of different issues that they may be working with. And a lot of times, you know, women, we seem to have a lot more resources. And I really want to give a chance tonight for men to have that opportunity. So I wanted to just see if you could share a little bit more about what you do in your other work to help with men, and why you felt it's so important for them. Because I know in our last show we talked about that men, seeming like more men are having a lot more suicide rates. And so just wanted to see, just go ahead and give your piece on that, please.
Yeah, so I know, I simply know, like, it started with my own struggles, my identity as a man, of what is really masculinity, what is expected of us today in society, in my own sex life, in my relationships. I noticed a lot of patterns coming up, and I noticed the same in others. And as I said, I started reading those pretty scary numbers about male suicides today. And I don't know, I just felt a calling to start working with men. And so since last year, more and more of my focus actually has been on that. And so the work is basically for men who feel like they would like some help, whether they feel like they're lost, they would like to find their purpose in life. They feel like they lack a certain sense of direction. Maybe they feel a bit depressed, a bit sedated, a bit, living a life of false happiness and pretense and actually feeling dead on the inside and would like to kind of reclaim their power. If you have any issues in your relationships, if you have any issues in your sex life, I don't so much focus on health, although being a yoga teacher, I can give a lot of advice on that, but I'm not so much of a diet fitness kind of thing. It's very much focused on the subject of masculinity, relationships, and sexuality.
Okay, nice. And I know, I think you have a group that you have, I forgot what you called it, but is it the Brotherhood of something that you do where people,
yeah.
I don't know how that works. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so the Brotherhood, and it's actually opening very, very soon because I want to build some momentum with it. And within a few weeks, this will be fully open on my website, and it's actually aiming at creating a community of men that can really support each other, whether you're working with me or not. It doesn't matter, although if you do become part of it, you get really big discounts on the work that you do with me. It's just creating a community of men supporting each other. You can talk about your struggles, you can give tips and advice to each other, and it's just feeling this support from an international community of different men from all over the world.
I love it. That's so nice to hear. So the other thing I was going to ask you is if, obviously, you're in Thailand, I'm over here in the U.S., if people did want to work with you, can they do this like through Skype, phone? How do you do your work, and does it matter?
Yeah, so it's perfectly fine through Skype. Actually, you can just go on the website and you can go into the coaching section and simply want to book your first appointment. Either way, the first consultation is free, and I wanted to give for the people of this show actually a 50% discount on the coaching package, which would be actually a lot of money saved. 50% discount for anyone who's been in this show. You just have to send me a message to the website and explain me that you've been on the show, and you would get a big, you would be saving a lot of money by working with me then.
Awesome, Agora. Thank you. Listeners, I just wanted to say again, check out the show description. And it has his website, but I'll say it one more time. It's www.theloverinyou.com. So with that, Agora, I wanted to say thank you again for your time and your knowledge, sharing a little bit more about what Tantra is and how it can help our relationships with others or ourselves. Because I know for myself, this was my first little tiptoe into hearing this world, and it definitely is an eye-opener, but it is also at the same time intriguing enough where I would like to follow it through and see what it brings to my life. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It was a real pleasure, and I encourage you and everybody else listening to just, if you do get, some goosebumps listening to this, if you do feel like, oh, this sounds really interesting, then just start, do some research, start reading about it, find a teacher if you can, and it will definitely transform your life.
Agreed. Thank you so much again. You take care over there. Get some rest. Everyone listening, enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you so much for your support. If you love this show, definitely share with your network. Again, you can get email notifications by signing up and clicking the pink button that says follow. With that, enjoy the rest of your week. Big, big hugs. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.